Welcome back to Small State of Big Takes. This is episode 280 on the motherfucking dot. Steve Scott, opening take. What do you got?
Yo, yo, yo. What the fuck is... Oh, I hit my fucking mic. What the fuck is going on? Dude, we got my favorite number one guest of all time here. Our boy. First of all, we got our boy Ed Hand. We got Josh with us. But Ed Hand, what the fuck's going on, bro?
Oh man, I'm just happy to get to do another Steve Scott episode.
Oh, like,
you guys don't appreciate it with Steve Scott, because this is what I will tell you about him, okay? He has it. I don't have it.
Oh please.
You guys don't have it. Steve Scott has it.
Stop.
I don't know
it
what
right
it
now.
Is, but whatever it is, like you got it, dude.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
I think it's the hat with the gold trim of the Orioles logo, and he's wearing a gold chain. That's it, dude. That's it.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
part of it.
I'm rocking it for you.
That's part of it.
You know, I got God and Baltimore Orioles on my side tonight.
You know what it is? It's every time you see Steve Scott, you need to get a dap, and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is want to make a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single time. Always looking to do a fantasy deal. Always looking for a little dap up.
What's the problem? Ed and I, about it. We don't have a fucking fantasy baseball league that we're in together yet.
Yeah, we're not in one together. What, like, how many? I mean, like, six leagues or something stupid like that right now, too.
What the fuck? We gotta do so. I was lobbying with among some homies to have, like, podcast homies all in a league together. There's still time.
That'd be cool. Yeah, Hogdale dropped out of the one that I was doing with, like, other pesky report people.
Yeah.
It's just not the same without him. Like, we got someone in to fill in for him, but it's like, you know, even if I win, it's like not a real victory.
Yeah.
It's sort of a bummer.
How is Hogdale doing?
Oh, he's good. He's good. He's potentially coming to visit me from Iowa sometime this summer.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm really
no
hoping
way.
that happens, so we can do the Hog trip 2024, but we'll see.
Whoa.
You know, let's see. I don't want to get married to anything there, but
I don't want
he comes up.
I didn't know what I was expecting when Hogdale came on, because we were very new to his content in general, but you just kept saying, you gotta have him on,
Hogdale. Yeah,
you're gonna have a great time, and he absolutely delivered. I thought it was a great time.
He's kind of like if Peter Griffin was from Iowa,
yeah,
and was like a nice person.
Yeah,
that's sort of like my Hogdale vibe. Like, and also really smart. Like, that kid's like probably the smartest kid that I know. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, second after me, but yeah, he's up there. He.
You want to play some Jeopardy against Hogdale?
He's not afraid.
He'll smoke you.
Yeah,
Jeopardy. You know, it's just a trivia game. That doesn't mean
I want to see Ollie play some
Jeopardy. Is who knows the most about nothing. That's why every dad is good at it, because they all know a lot about nothing.
That's right. Shout out to all the dads in the room.
You know who's really good at Jeopardy?
Who?
Like, this is true. My sister was on Jeopardy in 2014.
No
kidding.
Yeah, she was leading going into Final Jeopardy and got the last question wrong and bet too much. And it was pretty cool, though, because at least for, like, the first 20 minutes, it was just, like, watching your nerdy older sister beat the shit out of a bunch of other nerds on national television. It was freaking amazing. And then,
getting,
you know,
to
that
be
last
Alex
question
Trebek
happened.
Is pretty cool, too.
Yeah. That was her Facebook profile picture back when that was a thing.
Yep.
That's so cool.
That's a flex.
How'd she get on there? How do you, like,
she tried it out. I mean, she was, like, in high school, she was on, like, Academic Decathlon, which is kind of, like, high school Jeopardy team. And, like, they were, like, they were state champions. And, like, I guess if you did that growing up, like, that's kind of, like, your key into the Jeopardy universe. But you had to do a tryout and all that stuff, too. But she did that in New York City. About a year later, I think they flew her out to L.A. for it. It was pretty cool. And then she wasn't allowed to talk about it for 6 months. So we were just kind of like, well, did she win? How long was she in L.A. for? Because they film, I think it's, like, 3 or 6 a day. So,
right.
And they just tell you to change your clothes in between episodes, so it makes it look like more time has passed.
I was reading that recently. Yeah, like, they just keep going. Like, You get like a 15-minute break. Everybody takes a piss, changes their clothes real quick, and welcome back. Like today's episode, even though it was like 15 minutes ago, you know.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So those people that go like are on there for like 2 weeks winning, they're just cramming Jeopardy in one day.
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe a couple days.
That's even more impressive, honestly.
Yeah, it's a marathon. That's crazy. It's Christmas time and you have to record, like they're recording this like 5 months earlier. So you're like pretending it's Christmas and it's like August or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Family Feud, same deal. Same kind of shit. Price is Right.
I could see you guys being on Family Feud. I feel like people have different game show vibes. This show is a Family Feud vibe.
I like that vibe.
Oliver, yeah, Family Team Captain. Feud. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I just always think of the Always Sunny episode when they're on like the knockoff version of it. And it's so funny.
I have never seen that show.
Yeah, that's just.
Whatever. Wait, you've never seen Always Sunny? That was like a big part of my college years. I don't remember most of them because I was pretty drunk, but it was always on in the background.
It's one.
I've never seen one either.
That's so crazy. Honest. Like that's your guys' humor too. I think I know you enough to like. You guys would get it and you would like it. Gilly could have backed me up here if he was here because I know he's an Always Sunny guy, but. It's timeless too. Like you can go back and watch an episode from 2006 and it still hits.
Well, I know the memes. That's the important part.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Anyways.
Yeah, what are we on here to talk about again?
Yeah, like whatever you want. But nothing. Actually, what did happen today was I got my opening day tickets. I'm excited. Now, everybody.
Your opening day? Shout out to me going with you, Ollie. Let's fucking go.
Okay, yeah, but, you know, they were my hard-earned tickets.
That's right.
But, yes, Steve will be coming, a couple other friends. Catch us on television. We'll be in view all day, every day, if every day is that one day. Looking forward to it. But, Ed, my question to start here is, everybody is deservedly so furious with Red Sox ownership pinching pennies.
Yeah.
When they fired Heim Bloom, you were like, they don't, at least as my opinion was, they don't trust Heim Bloom to spend money in the right spots. Well, it turns out, kind of sounds like Heim Bloom was ready to go spend money now that his guys were about to be in the bigs. And they're like, we're not ready. Brought in Craig Breslow, do the same thing. They haven't done anything. And, you're still going to go to Fenway Park? I'm not going to any more Red Sox games. You know what? I fucking love Fenway Park, and I'm going to go 3 to 5 times a year.
Yeah, it's like, what's great? You know what I did a bunch in September last year? I did an edible, and I vibed at Fenway, and it was wonderful. It was some of the best games I have ever been to, just chilling out there. Because you know what? Everybody you're in the stands with at that point, they're tourists, and they're really interested in you, and they're really nice to you, and sometimes they buy you drinks, and it's really nice. I'm just saying, get fucked up and go to Fenway. Like it's a good time no matter how the team is doing.
All right. This is a really important conversation we're having because I was considering doing this for opening day. It's something I haven't done. Oh, actually, no, I did it once with Oliver, actually. Last time we went to a game together. We went to the opening day last year. But before that, Oliver, when my sister was there and you were first dating Hannah, I was on an edible for that. But that's before I was versed in this. How long before the game or during the game did you take the edible? How did you space it out? How did you time it? And how much did you take? And just guide us through.
First of all, amazing question.
Thank you.
Really important question here because it's going to be different for every person. Like if you're regularly, if you're like just like pounding, like, I don't know, like 10, 15 a night just to go to sleep, you're going to need more than that for it. Your time is going to be different. But if you're, you know, if you're like recreationally doing it like once every couple weeks or a few times a month here's the problem. I don't want to make myself seem like I have I have a chemical dependency problem with this stuff. So
same here.
But yeah, I mean, at least for this, I think it was 10 milligrams and I did it like an hour before the game. I did it on, because with this, like I want it to last as long as possible. So I'll like have it with dinner. Like I'll have some like chicken. I usually go to the bullpen bar there, get some chicken fingers are freaking outstanding. Like I love that shit. But yeah, and so that was how I did it for this one. But I mean, you can do it if you've never done it before. I'd say just do like 2.5, 5, do it. Maybe when you get there, so you don't have to try to find your seat and like it's starting to hit you and then you get a little scared. Because that's something that I don't know if this happens to you. I get really, it doesn't happen every time, but I'll get paranoid and I'll be like, where are the escape exits?
Yeah.
Because like, there was one game that I did this at, like a drone flew over Fenway and I was like, why is there a drone here? It's going to kill us. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened. This has happened to me at Game Sober where like a drone just shows up there. It always freaks me out a little bit, but you do that with like something in your system, it's pretty unsettling. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Like, you don't know what's going to happen there.
That is a thing. That is a thing for unexperienced like edible users too. Because sometimes if you overdo it or you do it the wrong way, you start getting those thoughts. Like I was having those. I remember when I first took a couple edibles early on, Gilly and I were beefing about nothing. I forgot. It was like some fantasy baseball kind of beef. And I did too much with one of my other buddies. And I had a whole like hallucination that like Gilly died and then he didn't exist. And I told Gilly the story and he didn't think it was funny, but I thought it was hilarious and fucked up once I, you know, snapped back into reality.
Right. Right, that sounds like you definitely did a little bit too much.
Yeah,
there,
I think so, dude.
Can I tell you something? I kind of enjoy that. It's not great at the time. Like you get like your heartbeat goes up a ton, and like you're like kind of having like a little panic attack there. But like afterwards, you're like, oh man, that was like a different realm of existence. That was cool. I want to. And then you're chasing that for a while, and it's very hard. Like you can't artificially create that.
This
unfortunately.
Is a fact. But you know what? To create that at Fenway would be an ultimate vibe, I believe. I think I'd be, you know?
I mean, Fenway is just such like a happy place for me. Like when I was a kid, at least, like we went there like once a year and it was always a really big deal to get to do that. And then I used to work in Copley Square, which was really close. Like you can walk there. It's like maybe a 15-minute walk to Fenway. And that was the first time I was really getting any like money from my job. And I would just go, I must have gone to like 15-20 games there that year, and it's never lost the effect on me. Like it's just always just this really nice, pleasant experience, as long, you know, weather pending. Like if it's, I'm not gonna have fun there if it's like one of those games where it's raining and then it stops and they try to do it again and then it immediately starts raining again. Yeah. Like one of those I'm not gonna be able to do. But no, Fenway's, it's, I don't even like the stadium that much. It's just the vibes are immaculate.
What's your vibe for this year? How many games are you thinking of going to?
So I'm on the record. Are just going to win. that is dependent on how many, how much I'm in Worcester for, because I do work there and I do have to actually be there for some of the games, but it's also like on a by-week basis. So, you know, probably 3 to 5, something like that. Like how many games do you guys usually go to a year? So I live 15 minutes away from Fenway, so it's pretty easy.
Yeah, probably 3 to 5. It's my sweet spot. And I'm at the point now where it's not hard to go, but I really only like going for day games unless it's a playoff. And
you're done with night games?
I don't give a fuck. I don't want to get home at 1 o'clock. No, I'm done. No.
In the summer, who cares?
Over it. No, I care. That's why I'm saying it. I'm done. I want day games. And I forgot what else I was going to say, but Steve ruined it per usual.
You're doing night games? You're out?
Unless it's a playoff environment, like night games just don't hit the same for me.
What the fuck? What about you, Josh? Are you planning on coming up?
I wish, man. Probably not. I really want to. I mean, seeing how we were season ticket holders before for like 2-3 years, I'd go to like 15-20 games a year, if that. So, yeah. I mean, I get the luxury of going to spring training. I went to the first spring training game this year, and that was wicked fun, but JetBlue is not Fenway. I will tell you that much. Not the same vibes.
No. I was down there in 2017, and I don't think I saw a single game at JetBlue. I saw a bunch of Red Sox games elsewhere, but they were like they were either on the road or it was like $60 for a spring training game, and I thought that was ridiculous, and I didn't want to pay for it.
I will say, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, it's tough to get to. Like, a lot of people travel to Orlando. A lot of people travel to Miami. Like, it's 2 hours, 2.5 hours from Miami. It's 4 hours from Orlando. Even if you're going in from Tampa, it's a 2 hour, ride. So it's not close to anything unless you're just old playing golf and like baseball and you're going to Naples like Oliver did.
I did. I was with my people.
Yeah, true.
The old golf loving baseball fans.
Yes. Hey, I mean, but it's tough. It's tough to get to, and it's expensive. So,
do you live in Florida, Josh?
What's that? Sorry.
Do you live in Florida? Because I'm just like I can't stop staring at your Buc-ee shirt. It's like my love Buc-ees. You don't understand. I was in San Antonio with my dad a few weeks ago, and he'd never been. He doesn't like Texas, but we were there for like a family thing, and we kept passing Buc-ees, and he was like, "What is that?" And I was like, "Oh. You don't know what Buc-ee, what?
Yeah.
What?"
It's like Cumberland Farms meets BJ's on steroids. It's, I don't know. I don't know how
it's
else
to explain it. It's like Cumberland Farms meets Chuck E. Cheese's mascots. Like, that's
true. Very good comp.
But Buc-ee's could have like food. Animatronic like beavers, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. That would be food. Very par for the course.
My shirt says, "I'm just here for the snacks."
Which the snacks are quite good. Like
the snacks, the food, superior.
Oh, so good. I just remember the one that I went to. It was like this whole section. It was like a butcher shop, but just for beef jerky. Like, I've never seen that much beef jerky anywhere before.
In the Buc-ee's?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like in the back.
No way.
It's amazing. Massive, right? Yes. Huge. Highly recommend. I drive an hour to just get some brisket sometimes. It's real good. Over to Daytona. That one's pretty nice. But yeah, I live in Florida. I live in Orlando. I work at Universal, so it's
I've been to Universal. I spent $50 on a Harry Potter wand that didn't really do anything.
No, I am not willing to speak about my job on this podcast. I'll say that.
Now that wand is in your room.
I plead the fifth. I'm not saying anything more. But that's why I live in Orlando.
So can I tell you guys something? Like, because we're kind of, this whole offseason, people have just kind of been shitting on the Red Sox a lot. And it's understandable. The one free agency move that they made, he already blew his elbow out. The trade that they made for Vaughn Grissom, which I was very excited about. He's not coming back for a few weeks. But I'm going to tell you, opening day being in a couple days, that's all the copium I need. I'm ready to believe in this team. I'm ready to have my heart broken by Memorial Day. I'm looking at this rotation and I'm saying, Andrew Bailey, like, yeah, you fix these guys. It's fine. Let's be real. Like, if you've watched the spring games, which I totally understand if you haven't, they haven't looked bad. Like, the pitchers have looked like pretty good. It's just such an unknown quality with everybody, how they're going to adapt to it. But,
dude, I'm with you all the way. The other day I was reading The Athletic and Cora said, this team is kind of exciting because it can be molded in any way possible. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you could have Rafaela playing second, short, outfield. You could have there's so many possibilities with this team. It's not like it was like the fake trying team of last year. Like, last year was a weirdo team, in my opinion. Like, this Justin Turner fucking, like, maybe he'll have 100 RBI. I don't know what that team was. It was a weird team that never really had an identity. This team, the identity is they can be whatever the fuck they want. We'll kind of see how it goes. Maybe Cutter Crawford's legit. Maybe Brian Bayo's going to take the fucking leap. Maybe fucking Tanner Houck is going to fucking be solid. I'm excited for this team in a weird way, 10 times more excited than last year, even though they're still going to suck Wang and they're not going to go anywhere. It's still going to be fun to watch.
I mean, the expectations are totally down, and maybe that's going to make it more fun than last year, where, to be fair, people forget about this. They were in it up until the deadline, and then they didn't make any trades, and then they had the worst September that I think they've, at least since maybe this is just like short-term memory bias or whatever it's called, but like, that was the worst September I can remember, at least since 2011.
They won
at least
eight
in 2011,
games.
They had something to lose. It was bad.
That one, that 2011 felt worse because you were in first place. However many games high. Up. Yeah. Miss, Gilly's here. Welcome. And
he's been here.
And I know. And then they missed the playoffs, but last year they were like hanging on by a fucking string, and everybody knew it, and then it just fell apart, and they had the worst September statistically ever, basically, that we can remember anyways.
It was bad. I was like going through the motions of watching it because I hate myself, but it was it was brutal. But you know, it's going to be, at least going into the season, there's at least some exciting stuff. Like, aren't you kind of excited to see Saint-On Rafaela play center field every day? Like, that's going to be kind of cool.
Yes. Here's a big take, though. Is the team succeeding ultimately a bad thing for us moving forward this year? Does it send the wrong message to ownership to be like, yeah, you guys can keep skimping? Like, I'm a little hesitant to be like, oh, cool, so now we're just going to do this forever, where it's just like, all right, signed Devers, and that's it. And then maybe every 5 years we make a playoff run, like if we're spicy. I don't know. That's my fear. That complacency,
I get that sentiment completely.
I like the guys. Again, I'm not rooting against them, but I'm just saying, like, long-term, is it really the best thing for us? For our
Just a good amount of young talent, and that's the problem, I guess, with Gilly, saying that we want these people in free agency because we're Boston and we're this market that is huge, and all, you know, I wanted Blake Snell. I thought the year was done when they didn't sign the guy, but the young talent, you cannot look down at it. You can't.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, we're just enabling them to be this weird, not quite small market.
I'm saying,
like, it could be worse. We're not.
It's so hard to root against them in that viewpoint. You know what I mean? That we have so much talent, yet do we really want to succeed? No, I don't. Just to say F you to, John Henry, but we might be good. We might be really good.
And come on, Ed. I see your face there. Ed's ready. Keep getting away with it.
Ed's locked up. Locked in.
Here's how I feel about this, at least. I'm fine with this year being that year where we see what we've got once and for all with Howe.
Again.
Whitlock, with Pivetta.
Yeah.
With Crawford. Are they starters? Are they relievers? Is Pivetta even going to be here next year? Seeing what Cassis really is like, because I think I would be shocked if Cassis gets extended by the All-Star break if he keeps doing what he did the second half last year. They already extended Bayo, so we're kind of seeing they're starting to invest in what they already have, and I think that once those pieces are in place more, then it makes more sense to me to
then your spending window opens. That's fair.
Yeah, but I guess my whole thing, and like somebody alluded to it earlier about Bloom was ready to spend, and they were like, no, 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 Bloom, let's not do that. Like, it was just that was a little weird for me that they decided to just set the clock back another year.
Yeah, his time limit was up. The Red Sox, they've done this since Theo left.
Yep.
4 years, 4 years, 4 years, 4 years. Heim Bloom was here 4 years. See ya.
Awkward.
And it doesn't really matter how much success you have. Like, Ben Charrington, see ya. Dombrowski, see ya. World Series champion, World Series champion. Heim Bloom comes in to fix what was left. Does a pretty damn good job, by the way. I tweeted out yesterday. It was not a long time ago at all.
Yep.
Where your best prospect was Michael Chavis.
Michael Chavis.
Who is an infield journeyman, cool guy, great dude. Like I said, this is probably his last chance to even get on a bench somewhere this year. And that was your best prospect. And now you have four top 100, probably five when Miguel Blaze is healthy and has a...
Oh, and there's a sixth that's coming. Start. That's coming, let me tell you. Steven Scott, yeah.
Our number one, baby.
Catcher of the future.
You're big on the Cespedes kid, right?
I think Cespedes is going to shoot through the minors. I think he's one of these guys that's going to be maybe not as fast as Devers did. He was 19 when he came up, but I've heard some stuff about people just like watching his batting practices, and I finally got to see a few of his swings, and it's just like, oh, yeah, no, I get this. This is... he's 18 years old, and it's just, it's like Roman Anthony if you got to see him at all in spring training. There's just something a little bit different about it.
Yeah. Don't you just love when you see a baseball player like that? Like, I honestly thought Jared Kelnick was like that. You just see him and you're something is different about this guy. Some guys get it at the major league level, some guys don't. But the fact that you just have that to look at, Cass's was one of them. You're like, this guy's just got it. He's different. Devers, he's got it. Different. Mookie. Benintendi, I thought that would too.
Yeah.
He's fine, but he never like blossomed, but he's still fine. A good major league baseball player. But like to have multiple guys that you looked in the minors right now and are like that, you got to be feeling pretty good about the position of the farm system.
Well, can I give you some? So I fell into a wormhole with this the other day, going through the Sox prospects rankings for their top prospects since like 2006. Mm-hmm. And between Michael Chavis and Marcelo Meyer, Tristan Cassis was in the number one spot for 3 years.
No way.
3 years.
He was in the number one spot. Right out of the draft, right? Because what happened? Chavis was there, and then was Bobby Dalbec right after that? I don't remember.
No, Dalbec
which one
was never
which.
Number one. He never, I think Chavis was there, and then after like a year or like a few months or something, Cassis, I think it was 2019 to 2022, Cassis was in the number one spot. And the next guy who was there for like that long was not even 3 years. It was like a year, like they do the updates three times a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like nine total for Cassis. And the next highest, I went through all of them, was Xander Bogaerts, had five there. So even if you take out the COVID year and you just say, okay, there was no development this year, it doesn't count, Cassis was still there the most. You take out a full year and he was still there the longest over the next longest person in the number one spot. That is how big of that is how drained the minor league system was. And this isn't, I don't consider this really a knock on Dombrowski because he did what he was supposed to do. He traded a lot of prospects. The system, I mean, I think that some of the infrastructure was a little bit more beat up during his time there. Like, it's just like they weren't able to develop their talent as well as some other teams were. And the pitching.
Dombrowski didn't really miss either. And he never really has, right? There's no, everyone's terrified of Dombrowski because he just tears down a farm system. But even back to the Detroit days, it's not like he ever made a deal that was like, oh my gosh, they gave up a stud. Like no, he makes the right moves.
You know what he sucks at with trade? You know what he sucked at with trades? He really sucked at trading for setup men in the bullpen. Because he traded Wade Miley for like Carson Smith. Yeah. And then he traded Travis Shaw for Thornton.
Yeah.
For Thornton.
That was fair.
Yeah.
That was fair.
That's my only.
I would do that again. And for context, Ali and I had a harsh opposing views on that. I was like, this is the right move. This is what you want. And then obviously it didn't work out. And at least they got something out of Shaw for a little while. But
it's hard with relief pitchers, though. Like, those guys are the most volatile. Like, that's why when they traded John Schreiber and they got like a decent pitching prospect for him, it was like, yeah, you do that. Like, that's a pretty, it's a player that's pretty not. And I like Schreiber. He did an interview with me and Parker, which was really cool. But there are a lot, like, they brought in Greg Weissert, who I think some people actually thought still was John Schreiber. He just like put on he just shaved his beard a little different and put on a different uniform.
How old's that Weissert guy? I don't know anything about him.
He's like 27. He had a really good mustache with the Yankees because they can't do the beards, and now he's got like the full beard. But he's got like that really good sweeper. Like he's showed up on Pitching Ninja a few times. I like the relievers have some good looks this year between him and Isaiah Campbell with like the glasses and the mustache. Like I think it's going to be a fun team. I don't know how good they're going to be, but I think they're going to be likable. I think they're going to be fun. And hopefully we have a better, you know, like they develop enough guys this year that they don't need to sign an entire pitching rotation in free agency. Like maybe like you have Bayo right now, who's extended for a while. Maybe Crawford and one of Houck and Whitlock show that they're going to be good for the future. You have three of them that maybe you can extend Pivetta, then you can, I don't know, like sign another guy there. But like it's really hard to just buy a team in free agency. It really is. I mean, look at what the Padres haven't done the shit, and they do that, it seems like, every year. The Dodgers haven't even done that much yet, and we'll see with Yamamoto and Ohtani there. But look at the Braves though. That's mostly developed on their own or traded right. for it. I think that's kind of that's what you gotta hope that they do. That's what I'm hoping the Red Sox go for. We'll see. I was sure that this was going to be the go for it year, and boy was I wrong about that. So who knows?
Are you in on before the last question, Steve?
Yeah. Yep.
Real quick. Are you in on Trevor Story comeback season?
Yeah. Like, why not? Like, it's more fun for me to believe that he's going to. He's looked good in the spring. Like, can I tell you guys something? I change a lot once opening day gets here. I'm pretty cynical during the offseason. Every move sucks or, like, yep. this is good, but it's not yep. necessarily going to be. As soon as opening day comes, yeah, no, he's going to be an all-star this year. He's going to win
the right. There you go.
I'm with you all the way. That's me.
Gold Glove 30-30 All-Star season. Mark it down.
Yeah, let's do it. I don't give a shit if he hits 250. Like, give me some bombs. Give me some steals.
Oh, my God.
If
Trevor Story hits 250 and gives you 25, 30 home runs, what a year.
Yeah, no, I'll be thrilled. And, I mean, let me ask you this. How do you think Cassis is going to do this year?
Ollie?
I'm all in on Tristan Cassis. All in.
Like literally him. And figuratively for Oliver.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Oliver made a bold. He kept him in fantasy.
Anyway,
three-player keeper.
Any way I can buy Tristan Cassis stock this year, I am doing.
Can I tell you something? Favorite player the Red Sox have had since Mookie Betts. I love Tristan Cassis. I think he's got one of the best approaches of anybody in baseball. He just seems like a really fun dude also. I remember seeing him my first game that I got a press pass for in Worcester was in 2022. And I just remember being really awkward and really nervous on the field. And there's like gigantic Tristan Cassis, who really does look like if you stack three barrels on top of each other. Like, he's a large, large man.
Yeah.
And he's just shooting the shit with some photographer in the stands, just like having the best time, like just talking That's to so this cool. random person there.
He's
like,
just he's so just... happy to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Ed. My question is, with 2 minutes left, can you please give Oliver and Gilly mostly a elevator pitch to the Woo Sox of why they should fucking go to a fucking game?
No.
Which I'm going with you this year, Ed. But shout out to them. And Josh, too, because Josh is a hater, too. That's right.
I'll give you guys free sodas, and we can get fucked up before and after.
Yeah! See? It's worth it.
I think it'd be fun. Surprisingly good barbecue. Surprisingly good
Great
barbecue
food.
There.
Great food options.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the McCoy tent. Remember the tent at McCoy? That was great barbecue over there.
McCoy. Dude, I miss McCoy.
There
McCoy
you go. That's
great.
All we wanted to hear.
That's all we need to hear.
I want McCoy. Here's what I want. I want McCoy and Lowell to both come back. Salem Red Sox, Greenville Drive. Sorry, you guys can come up here. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
Have every minor league team be in New England. That just makes a lot more sense to me.
That would solve a lot of problems. You know, put like single A and Westerly. A fucking double A in fucking Providence.
Dude, put it right at the Staples building.
Yeah. Why are we doing this to ourselves? Just fucking give us baseball back.
Please.
Okay, Ed, thank you for joining us. We actually have another episode coming out tomorrow with another guest separately. Be sure to listen to that one as well. And as always, go Red Sox.
Go Sox.
And thank you, Ed. That was another classic Ed Hand Masterclass.
Never long enough, Ed.
I love working with you guys. You guys are. I feel like we would actually be friends in real life. Definitely.
It's gonna happen this year, Ed. We're hitting that Woo Sox.
We're
game
doing
up.
It. We're doing wait. It. We're doing it.
Fuck yeah! All right, I'll see you guys soon. Peace.
Peace out.